Oh, wait. Is it? Oh, it is. Okay. I can see it. All right. Well, another attempt at...
The Princess and the Priest! Welcome, welcome.
Usually we get into trouble and we have to just throw it away. But occasionally we can do one.
A good one that doesn't...
Does drop on territory that isn't just designed to offend. Although, I'm sorry, I'm just...
An offensive person, is that what you're saying?
Well, you know what? I used to spend so much time and thought trying not to be offensive, and I find that trying to do that less and less...
Okay, say that again. You were trying not to be offensive, but...
I find myself going through the effort of trying to be unoffensive less and less.
Right. So you're becoming more offensive.
It isn't my goal,
to be offensive.
But it's what... It's typically what needs to happen, you know, in a lot of circumstances. You don't set it as a goal, oh, today I'm going to try to spend 10 more minutes being offensive. And they go, no, I'm just going to be, because I'm going to say things that people don't want to hear. And I used to fret about
that. Do you think it's you, or do you think people today are becoming more and more offended? They're choosing to be more offended.
I think...
Because their skins are getting thinner.
I think we are making a deal that we're both contributing to it, you know, both other people being more and more offended and trying to keep people away from making them feel guilty. And it's like, I don't know. I guess I'm taking the priestly aspect or maybe the judge aspect of it and saying, you know, guilt is a good tool. I was listening to this podcast, and this lady was talking about her story was kind of dismissive, like she almost just kind of fell into this. Her parents apparently didn't give her enough attention, and so she started turning to social media. And, you know, cute teenage girl is gonna attract a lot of followers, right?
Especially guys, right?
Sure. Anyway, so she apparently had a lot of people that were just following her. She would just talk about herself and stuff like that, how she felt, blah, 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 like most podcasts do.
Yeah.
Or things like that. Whatever kind of social media blog. And I think she started out with a blog. And then she graduated. She had decided to go with OnlyFans after a while. She was really weird about it. Yeah, this looks like black guys in Philly. But there's nothing you can do about it. Except don't make sudden moves.
I know.
Anyway. And she kept saying, I didn't think there was any money in it, so I didn't pursue that. And then all of a sudden, I guess she kind of figured it out. Or she saw other people, and they seemed to be making money. And then she decided to figure out how to make money. And why is he wanting to go over? He's not even close enough to pass.
He doesn't know it's on.
Sure.
Yes. It's been on for almost 3 miles.
Oh. Anyway. And she decided to get on OnlyFans. And then she got into the whole thing of doing what people asked her to do on OnlyFans. Which is, you know, quasi-sexual. Lots of money can be made. And she had gotten on to all this stuff. She was making quite good money selling herself. through social media. And then all of a sudden she said, I just, the whole premise of the thing was that she had come to Christ. She had figured out that Christ was really important in her life. So, I didn't listen to the whole thing because I got to the thing where she said, okay, I did this whole buildup, and then I decided that it really wasn't. I didn't feel good. She said, I felt guilty. I felt guilty, and she went on this whole thing, which I think is right, about how good guilt is. She said, guilt's really important. It tells you when you're doing something you shouldn't be doing.
Yes.
And it gives you some, you know, it gives you some strength, impotence, something, to change. And so I kind of stopped it there because, okay, I got the whole thing. And it does. It makes people, it lets you know that the avoidance of guilt is... Of course, got 5 billion damn kids in the car, so I can take care of this.
I've got that roll of paper towels.
Oh, that's right. But it's really hard to get to for me. It's behind my seat. Anyway.
Well, why'd you stick it back there instead of behind my seat?
I don't know. It's old. I don't know. It's not that. Anyway. That. The whole point of guilt, and people do this wrong all the time, they just go to a therapist, they go to, you know, they talk to people to try and stop feeling guilt. And you go, you know, the primary and useful way to get rid of guilt is to stop doing whatever makes you feel guilty.
Yes.
Or... whatever. I don't know if it's an action or something like that or a thought. You go, the biggest thing is do that. And you would think that was so basic and easy to understand, but people work so hard to smother these guilty feelings. And you go, that's not good. So, yeah, when it comes to offending people and saying or doing things that might offend other people, you almost want to say, wow, what exactly are you doing that makes you so touchy about what I said?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, holy, we're not supposed to, you're not my therapist. And you go, no, because you probably don't need a therapist. You probably need to listen to what you can give it whatever title you want. Heart, mind, spleen, the spirit.
I love how you always blame
whatever.
The
spleen. Oh, no. Oh, I'm just having so much fun with the spleen again because I'm working on the umlaut stories again. Just thinking them out. I haven't written much of anything.
But anyway, back to what you were talking about.
Yeah. Whatever makes you feel guilt, don't sit there and try to ignore it or smother it out. You know, it says people turn to drugs and alcohol and things like that many times.
What if you have dreams and your dreams make you feel guilt? How do you...
That was what I had to do under circumstances where it was like I was having dreams that were causing, you know,
issues. Yeah. Problems.
Yeah. And it was, okay, sis, you really can't control dreams, particularly. So you have to leave those to God.
Don't your dreams come from your subconscious?
I don't know. You can listen to psychologists all day long. And sometimes it's helpful. Usually, it bleeds you down a rat hole.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, as I I prefer to take a different tack to it, which is do what you can do and ask for the Lord's help on the things that you aren't being able to do. Knowing that there's quite a bit that you can do about it. You know, people run way too fast to drugs, whether they're prescription or not, you know, to try to solve these things. You know, I've heard about this thing, and it makes you do this, and it stops these kinds of tendencies, and instead of being controlling, it's more a deadening. And I guess that's kind of a nasty term to use. What do you have to do about death? And they go, because that's what it does. You know, if you got ADHD and you're taking some kind of drug for it, what it does is it deadens.
Yeah.
And they go, some people need that. I'm not challenging the medical pharmacological industrial complex.
I can't go around this.
It's okay, then don't. Just be careful. Just like the old days. Somebody else pops out of his
car.
Hey, you just gotta know that that's gonna happen. There's nothing you can do because you can't change things. I'm sorry. Anyway, so yeah. Since there is a lot you can do, and know that much of this is triggered by guilt. And anxiety and stuff like that. But it's usually tied to something. May not be immediately obvious, but it's probably there.
Yeah. Now that we have the smooth road, it says a sign with rough road. I should have had that like 10 miles back.
It's because it's so out of the ordinary to have smooth. And it won't last.
No.
New Mexico has a thing that it doesn't really put forth the effort needed to get this done. Texas will do, you know, reinforced concrete, which is about a billion times better than this. It lasts a lot longer, but New Mexico refuses to spend that kind of money to really make good roads.
Yeah.
They would rather repatch and repatch. You know, I think it's just,
I can remember when we first moved here, we would go to state conferences. Texas roads were constantly being under construction.
Yeah, but they were fixing them.
But you know what? Once they fixed it, there's been no construction.
Yeah, it's been fixed. I know it takes a lot longer. I'm sure it costs a lot more money. You have to have a lot more specialized equipment.
And materials.
Which New Mexico doesn't invest in. But anyway, yeah.
Anyway.
So, yeah. That comes all back to the whole thing about, well, you're being more offensive, and you're going, you know what? I don't think it's useful to spend a lot of time trying to be unoffensive. I think if you're a missionary, maybe, and that's why the apostles work so hard to say things, you know, say no in such a kind and loving way that you can't tell that you're being said no to. And you go, that's part of the problem is people don't understand that you've just told them no. You know, because they just go, oh, well, Jesus loves me. Well, that's fine. So, yeah. I'm not trying to be as unoffensive. And, yeah. People are helping me by everything being offensive. When you hear the phrase, a little fragment of a phrase of how dare you, and then they go on to something else, you you know you've hit something. And you could probably go, oh, I wonder what triggered that. And then they'll get really offended. How dare you try to dig into things that I will share with my therapist, who will give me strokes and make me feel good and give me pills to try to smooth out my jarred feelings. You go, yeah.
This just makes now splits holes.
Of course.
A waste.
Of course.
My text. Okay.
It's mostly oil and gas money, so you don't have to feel like you come straight out of your money. You know, I'm grateful that this thing exists so that I can use it to get into.
That's true.
So, even if it's in bad shape, it's like, well, I know they're going to do something to it. So, they always do. It says it's usually less than adequate, but there it is. Yeah. The whole thing about Downton Abbey being a good reflection of the celestial kingdom is really getting very poignant. I think how we should approach our Heavenly Father works best if we think of him as a feudal, a medieval feudal lord. I think that works about 1,000 times better. Every story you have ever heard about a prince who the king is not happy with, you know, it's not developing well, he's not becoming the kind of man he needs to be to take over the kingdom.
Right.
This, I think this is a good attitude to have toward God. That's why when it's like, well, I treat Lisa like the daughter of God, and I know that if I don't treat her well, the king is going to come and do something horrible to me, right?
Sure.
Treat your wife like a queen, like those things. Hopefully she doesn't fall into the trap of you know, becoming a narcissistic jerk, which is sad because we see what women doing.
Yeah.
That's why when people come back and they go, well, wait a minute, what about us being the sons of goddesses? Haven't you felt it? It's a responsibility. It's a charge. It's the sword hanging over your head that the king is going to go, you're not worthy of it. I'll give it to somebody else. I'd rather give it to a pig than give it to you. Because I think so little of you. And you go, whoa. And you go, yeah, that's the difference. Being a daughter of God means you need to treat her well. Being a son of God means you better start getting up and getting your butt in gear, buddy. You better start pulling it together. And so when people go, you know, and it shines a light on the whole idea of women in the priesthood, and you're going, what? Why is that even interesting? Women don't have those responsibilities. And I don't care if they really, 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 really want them. It's just not, I mean, the king just isn't going to do that. You know, you go, well, what about Queen Elizabeth? And you go, whatever. That's cute. That's fine. Everybody treated her, and therefore her nation, like something that had to be protected. You know, that had to be honored at all costs. And you're going, king's totally different. The king is expected, and people don't respect a king that isn't out there at the very front of his troops with the sword out going, this is the way forward. And I'm the first guy that's going to take the brunt. You guys better back me up or get ahead of me or something to try to protect me if you want to still give, you know. And that's totally different from a queen which sits back and gets protected.
Well, like in the movie Braveheart.
Yeah.
He was up there. William Wallace was up there in front leading the charge. But with the English guys, they stood in the back and sent out all their little guys, their archers, their footmen, their horses, before they even decided to approach close to the place.
Right.
So what kind of kings were they?
Well, let me tell you, the guys getting sent out didn't appreciate it much.
No.
Because they said, we're just dying for these guys, which is exactly what the guys on the Scottish side were saying, right? They said, you know, I'm not going to die for them. And you go, come die with me, you know, is what Wallace would say. Yeah. They would go and they would fight with him because they knew that he would be there in the fray with them. It says, and that's what God wants to see from us. It's like, who is going to be a king? And you go, well, let me see, anybody who's male here could be the next king. And you go, okay, but who is it going to be? The really interesting thing is you have to rectify that with the whole fact that God's domain is constantly expanding. You know, the whole, people have talked about this great expanding universe. And you go, that works for me. It works okay. God's getting bigger and bigger. He can slice up things all kinds of ways, and it just keeps getting bigger, right? If you become the God of a certain place, a certain part of the vineyard or whatever, it just expands until, you know, and everybody inside of your domain, they don't know the difference. You're their God. You know, you don't have to sit there and wonder about other gods. You've only got your God to worry about. There's only one person you have to impress, and I think that's what it is. A man's major responsibility is to impress God. God gives you all kinds of criteria to be impressed by. That's why I'm kind of confused often. No, I can't say I'm confused. I don't know what a lot of the things are about girls because I know girls have the same set of commandments that men do. But it's always phrased toward men. Some of the bigger, not bigger, some of the extra things are phrased totally in a man way of doing it. Women try to apply to them and it doesn't work very well. And it's like, just be a good woman. Follow your womanly instincts that aren't bad.
But look at how many women do.
Oh, it's horrible now.
You know, all the abortions. Women in the past who have just picked up and left their children.
100 years ago, we didn't have much of this at all. Women were obviously touted as the people who always had the right answer, always had the right perspective, always, you know, just being women was exalting. And now, it seems like in the last 100 years, they have made such a campaign out of throwing all that out and being having just as much problems as men do. With stuff that's not even in their purview. It's like, you know, I don't want to have children. Men don't have to have children. Men can walk away from their children and nobody even bats an eye. You go, well, that's not true, number one. Or it shouldn't be true. And you go, the problem is, women are walking away from it too. And it's happened quickly. I remember when teen pregnancy was a problem.
Yeah.
And that we were working on it. And guess what? Ain't a problem anymore. And it's not because we aren't paying attention to it. Girls aren't getting pregnant. They don't do that anymore. They have figured out, they have figured out how not to get knocked up. And still have the kind of fun I guess they kind of want, although I'll come back and say it's shallow and it's worthless and it doesn't accomplish what you hope for. Girls still want to get married on some basic level. but they've found a ton of ways to just ignore it, you know, and just say, I'm not going to do that. Something. So I'm going to be a girl boss. So go ahead.
No, you're right. And women, I don't know if it's feminism, but it's totally destroyed womanhood. You know, equal rights and all that crap. I mean,
women had a special status.
I understand.
That they've thrown away.
I understand the fact that if a woman needed to take care of themselves because they weren't married,
they wanted to have the tools to do it, and it really wasn't offered to them.
And have a halfway decent income so they could support themselves.
Right.
You know?
It's just because the whole culture wasn't set up that way. It was about marriage. Guys took care of girls, period.
Yeah,
but you know,
some girls didn't get married.
Most
That's
did.
What I'm saying.
Well, no, back in the old days, if you did, you just had to hang with your father or your older brother or some man in your family is going to do that. But, of course, we totally decimated families.
Yeah.
Which is the wrong word.
Decimated is wrong, yeah.
It was much bigger than that. It wasn't 10%. We just ruined family altogether. And made sure that our culture expects that. And yeah.
But
I want to do it on my own. And you go, you guys did realize that we never, either sex, never could do it on their own.
No.
And men, I'm sorry.
And I don't want to be treated like a man. I want to be treated like a woman.
Right. I hope you are.
Yeah.
How are we doing that, right?
Yeah.
I pretty much let Lisa do whatever she feels like.
Sometimes I feel like I tend towards the man thing because I'm so blasted.
What?
Forceful, I guess. I don't know how I want to say this. I'm insistent. And demanding, and it's got to be my word. Stubborn. Maybe it's just stubborn.
Could be. But I let Lisa work on those things at her own pace. It isn't my job to tell Lisa what the problems are, because Lisa's actually quite good at figuring out what her own problems are. I don't have to get in there.
Independent. My mother taught me to be independent.
Well,
which can be very.
I think that's that. Yeah.
It can drive a wedge.
But I love you, Lee. I think that's why Heavenly Father put you and I together. Because I'm relatively easygoing about anything. So. Not all things.
Anyway.
When it comes to the whole power play between husband and wife, I don't think we have much of one.
No.
If Lisa had any complaints about it, it would be that Jason doesn't go out and just make decisions.
You make decisions at work.
Independently. Sometimes I do, but I'm trying to discuss it with Lisa, because if I don't, Lisa will come back and give me heck for it. You know, I don't need that. But I'm not trying to make her sound bad. She's not. This is our relationship, and I think all kinds of different mixes of that relationship between a man and a woman in marriage are, I think, acceptable to the Lord. I don't think he has the straitjacket. Like I've always said, I am not much of a Paulist at all. I think Paul had some serious hang-ups. And, you know, he was he was Spartan missionary to some weird degree. He couldn't keep companions very readily for how hard I think he probably was to live with. And let me tell you, there was a guy who spent a good deal of his time offending other people. He spent time in jail. He was always getting himself, he was always putting his foot into places that other people wouldn't do. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he was wrong or bad, but yeah, I says, I don't know if we should have based the church or any church on all of his letters, because his letters were bizarre sometimes. It's been hard to understand. And I'm sure they got goofed with quite a lot by translation and stuff. So yeah, just as much as I'm not much of a rabbi following person, I am not a good Jew. I'm not a Jew at all by the tradition, and that doesn't bother me. I still retain the association that I value, which is being an Aaronite priest. That doesn't bother me. Even when they say, well, you're not a Jew, therefore you can't be a priest. I said, well, I can't be a Jewish priest. He says, which is nothing. You guys don't need priests anymore because you guys walked away from, other things. This is, I don't know how I should feel about the temple and stuff like that for Jews. I don't know. He says, trust me, the Jews, I don't think, have a very clear view of it either. Every other rabbi has another thing. It depends on who they follow. I think they have a lawyerly aspect, and I'm not much of a lawyer. Regardless. So, yeah. The things that I don't subscribe to, I think, help me be more open to in inspiration from the Spirit. If it needs to go in an unorthodox direction, that's something that could probably be said of me for anything else, is I'm probably pretty unorthodox. It's like, well, that's not the right way to go. I don't care. I just care about results. Since we're trying to get to exaltation, how is that accomplished? I don't know. I says, we've tried all of the lovey-dovey things, and I think it's getting us off target. I think you guys say that being this way will get you to heaven, and I'm sorry. I think it doesn't. I think it's going to convince people not to actually repent.
Yeah.
Not to actually change, because they go, God accepts me just the way I am.
And I can do anything, and it's still worth it.
Yeah, and you're going, you know what? It says, that's cute, but it's not useful. It says, because does that elicit change? If you let people know that how they are now is just fine, is that supposed to impel them to want to change? And you go, no.
It's like
that'd be a huge thing to say. I don't need change.
It's like that scripture I read out loud. Ye are my friends if ye keep my commandments. And the guy in the back said, I don't think so. And it's like, it's in black and white right there.
I hear the scriptures.
And he just refused.
Why do you think
to agree with that and believe it? And it's like, what is wrong with you?
He says, he's my friend no matter what. And you go, well. And you go, see, that's why it's like you're putting, I think, a lot of an interesting twist on the word friend and on the word love. And
yeah.
You go, be careful. It says, for me, love has been accomplished. The atonement was an act of love. It says, and it's a really big one. Christ said that the greatest love was to lay down your life for your friends.
Yeah.
And you go, Christ has already done that. And you're going, yet you constantly make further demands of him to soften and soften.
The question is.
And shove love in his face and say, if you love me, you'll make it so that I'm exalted without any effort at all.
The question is, if there comes a time in your life that you have to either deny Christ or die, will you die for him?
Okay, there you go. That's a good thought.
Is he your friend enough that you would lay down your life for him?
Which is what he asks you to do anyway.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's not somebody's got a knife to your throat, but it's a much deeper thing. Changing what you are. Which is like death. It is the death of the old you and the rebirth of a new you. And you go, are you willing to do that? Most people say, I don't have to. Because Christ loves me.
And he already laid down his life for me.
Yeah, so I don't have to. You go, no, you got that wrong. But it says, I know where you get that from. It makes you feel good. It says, it's very appealing. I said, I'm sorry to say, it's very appealing to women. And, you know, people who feel that way, you know, says, I just want to be cared for and taken care of. And they think that Jesus' job is to minute by minute care for them and take care of them. And you go, that's what your husband is for. So go out and get a husband. He's supposed to take care of that role. That's not Jesus' role. They go, I don't have a husband. Yeah. Says, therefore, you know, it's like government. Jesus is like nanny state government for them. You know, they kind of put him in that role. That's what he's for. If I'm struggling, he picks me up and he carries me. And you go, you know what, that's cute. But you know what, He's already assigned that job to some other role, and it's not him that does it. You know, he'll sit there and he'll snap fingers at your husband and say, "Get up and help your wife. She's having troubles. You help her." And you go, "Well, Father, what happens when I have troubles?" He said, "You pray to me." He says, "And I'll help you out." And you go, "Oh, okay." And you go, there it is, man. This is, but you got to figure what exactly you are. It's this whole thing about presiding is a big deal, but it mostly has to do with, you know, you are supposed to be doing what Christ would do if this were his wife. How would he behave? You go, well, okay, do that. Of course, now we've so screwed up the whole picture of Christ, that's probably a really bad idea. We start acting like the butler and stuff like that. You go, how come you think Christ is a butler? That he's just at your beck and call, you can complain about something, and his whole job is to go into action and fix it for you. Anyway, so yeah. Now the whole thing about Downton Abbey, and I think it's a powerful thing to say that your distance from Heavenly Father, God the Father, is indicative of something. Everybody thinks that God the Father is just huggy kissy and all that, you know, maybe Osmond. With most of his children, not only does he keep you at a distance, he doesn't allow you near him. Have you seen God lately? Everybody says, we came and see God. And you go, well, this is, and why exactly might that be? And you go, because I'm fallen. And you go, yeah. We have to rely on the Spirit down here, because isn't the terrestrial realm the realm where only the Spirit can go? Christ can't go there. Christ came here once, and Christ touches occasionally, but important things are happening, they're requiring. Other than that, he ain't here. He's not here.
Whoa. That wind blew me over, Jabo.
Yes, ma'am. So, yeah, this is... And... And how God relates to you is God's business. You can't make demands of him. That doesn't work. Think of some peasant living in the medieval times. It always helps to go
back to that feudal system.
To that level, yeah, to that level. Because it really helps you get a better sense for what happens. Like, okay, well, okay. Let's take another thing. The Book of Mormon. If every king could be as righteous as King Benjamin or stuff like that, wouldn't it be fantastic to always have kings?
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't it be wonderful? But we know that that's not always true. You're not always gambling. You have a bad king like King Belander, or three-quarters of the guys among the Jaredites. So, wouldn't you love to be a peasant living under a really good, righteous lord? Yeah, because he would take care of you, he'd keep all of his obligations that he feels like he has towards you. And you would feel blessed, you would live in such a wonderful place, you know, the grass would be greener, I'm not sure how it all works, but it does, you know, and all the crops grow better. And if things don't go well, all that stuff that you brought to the king is part of your, you know, tithing almost, you know, takes care of you in bad times. And the king manages all that. You go, wouldn't you love to live under that? Isn't that what people all want from a disaster relief sort of situation? You know, oh yeah, they'll sweep it, they'll take care of us, and you know, they did a really great job. And it's because you go, yeah, I says it's mostly just lip service from the people above you, and you don't have a king.
Like California,
you've got a president, and the president has come up with kind of a mess, and it's not. It doesn't work so well. And does he really care about you? No, he cares about other things. You know? You don't have a very good king. And you go, but we're in the United States. We don't have a king. We, you know, we're a celestial world. And we've got, and we have a constitutional republic. And, you know, we have our representatives who are bought and paid for by different groups. And says, do they do anything particularly good for you? As one of their constituents? No. They're all about getting power in the party. They're all about getting certain things accomplished that you might not even care about. You know? Anyway, but, yeah. A king's so good... You don't mind giving him all your stuff. That is what God is. God is the excellent king. And he is the excellent father, too. It says, can I be honest with you? It says, how many times have you seen God? And you go, nah. And you go, okay, and you're pretty hard on your father because he has to go off and make money to support your family. And you can grump and growl and complain about the fact
he's never around.
That he's not around. He doesn't play with you much. And you're going, you know, it says, I'm not trying to make a straight comparison. Because God gives earthly fathers the responsibility to do the things that their children need. And to ascertain what those needs are.
Do you mind?
Both of you guys go.
Yes. Just go. Wow.
Nope, he's going 1 mile an hour faster than you.
I know.
He's going to take
it. It's even a mile.
Yeah, probably half of it. Frankly, that's better rope over there.
I know.
I think he really loves having the excuse of being over there and not get in trouble for just riding on the left side.
Well, guess
so
what?
Those guys like parking.
Now you need to get over, because guess what? I'm not doing it.
Okay. I think it becomes one of those laws that isn't really going to be enforced very much at all.
Oh, dang it.
We always make all these rules that we don't have any
way to enforce.
Yeah, you have no way to enforce. I mean, you've got one state highway patrolman that covers, I don't even know how
and
many.
There he is,
yeah. And trust me, that was not him, that was the Santa Rosa police.
Yeah.
And if he really wants to get out on the highway, I guess he can, but he tries not to. And the state doesn't want him to. Anyway. All right.
So this is their Christmas stuff that's still saying thing, but it's like, we're almost mid-January, people.
Oh, there's a pile of okay. I gotta get some gas, so I'm gonna pause this if I can. Oh, I can't pause it. We're just gonna get really quiet. If you stay quiet and stop recording. Alright. He's okay. La, 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 la. And then I probably need to talk about the whole thing about honoring your parents. Okay.
Okay.
I'll be right back. Okay.
Oh, yeah, fucking bachelor. Pardon me.
No,
I wasn't.
It's like, wow, okay.
I wasn't thinking about what you were thinking about there. Oops.
A post-human world.
What? Yeah, it is. It's back to recording now. I don't know how I got that back to that point. I really needed to... Oh, we can stop that. All right, we'll come back when it's back on track here.